There's a little last minute switch, pinch hitter. So I'm Kimberly Chang. I'm a site director at a community health center in Oakland, California. I'm also a family physician. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about our patient navigator model at Asian Health Services Frank Kang Medical Center in Oakland, California. So my apologies to Dr. Arnett. And this slide replaced my financial disclosure slide. I don't have any financial disclosures, but I wish I had some. So if anyone wants to come and contract me out, that would be wonderful. Just kidding. Yeah, I was at the Giants game last night in the Mission. It was awesome. All right, so this is our learning objectives. It's in the program, basically identifying barriers to accessing prevention and wellness healthcare services for Asian immigrant and refugee populations in an urban underserved setting, describing the role of a patient navigator in our community health center, and thirdly, to identify a couple of best practice strategies utilized by a patient navigator to improve health access. So this session is really about practice-based evidence. I don't have a whole lot of statistics or epidemiology. I have stories to tell. So I hope you enjoy some of them. So who are we? A little backup. Community health centers started out of the civil rights movement back in the 1960s. At that time, people were asserting their rights to civil liberties. Healthcare became one of them. Asian Health Services started in 1974. All across the country, there are community health centers. There's about 1,500 of them, or there might be a few more corporations now, 1,500 to 1,800 of them, with over 8,000 to 10,000 clinical delivery sites across the United States, serving over 20 million patients. There are four really special things about community health centers. One, we provide comprehensive primary care. Two, we're private nonprofit, 501c3 under the tax code corporations. Thirdly, many of the community health centers have dual missions of service and advocacy. And fourthly, the last thing that really makes community health centers special is that by federal mandate, we must have a board of directors that has 51% majority from the community or patients of the system. So that means our bosses are the community. We're absolutely responsible to and accountable to the community. Across the board in the nation, 71% of our patients are in poverty, 40% uninsured, and 66% are racial and ethnic minorities. At Asian Health Services, it's almost the same. We mirror that, except we've got 98% minorities. At our health center, about 90% of our patients don't speak English well. So this is an example of our advocacy. We do a general membership meeting, and it's like a mini United Nations. We bring elected officials. 500 to 600 patients come and listen to policy changes. They ask questions. Here's another picture. This is a picture of a patient leadership council in Vietnamese. It's conducted in Vietnamese. Here's a picture of rallying and mobilizing the community for healthcare reform. You can, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a Korean language sign here, which Jin Young Chun made. She's our site manager. And there's some Chinese signs there as well. And finally, we bring our patients and our community members up to do legislative advocacy. So this is up at Sacramento. My site, my clinical site, the Frank Kang Medical Center, started in 2010, July 2010. We got stimulus funds from ARA, and we opened in 2010, expecting to see 5,000 patients within 3 years. We've seen, this is in 2 years time, and we already had about 5,300 total patients. As you can see here, we serve patients in 10 different Asian languages. And so the question then becomes for us, for my site, how are we going to do this intentionally and purposefully and adequately to serve 10 different Asian language groups and to provide good care? One of the answers became implementation of a patient navigator model. So let me tell you about this patient story. I don't know if many of you are familiar with eligibility requirements or insurance. How many of you have ever had to call your insurance company to get something approved? Or yes, I see a lot of nods, a lot of chuckles. Okay, so imagine that you're a new immigrant or a refugee to the United States, and you don't know where to go. Your system of care is completely different. You show up at the site that has interpreters. You show up at the Frank Kang Medical Center, and you show up, and the patient navigator is the frontline reception desk, and they say, oh, well, let me verify your insurance information so that you don't get a huge bill from the insurance company. So in California, we have a couple of Medi-Cal managed care plans in Alameda County. We have a patient who is under Blue Cross Medi-Cal managed care. So when the patient navigator goes to verify her insurance, she doesn't speak English, and she's assigned to a different clinic. She's seeking services that day. We don't want to turn her away, so we have to verify her eligibility and try to get her reassigned to our clinic so she doesn't get a big bill and so that she can be seen that day. So this is what she said. The patient navigator says. They asked for her date of birth, her name, and then asked her to spell the name. And this is when the problem started. The patient is old, grew up in a poor country, and in her time, girls were banned from school by their own parents. She doesn't know how to write and spell. The spelling took about 20 minutes, but then the call was dropped. We called again. I explained the patient's situation to the next answering representative, but she still wanted the patient to verify her information again. And after 25 minutes, the call dropped, and the PCP, the primary care provider, had still not changed. I saw how much the patient struggled for almost an hour just to spell her name right. So this is an example. So let's go to one of our learning objectives, barriers to accessing culturally competent healthcare. I divided it up into three different categories, patient factors, so the barriers that the patient might be able to overcome, provider factors. And when I say provider factors, I don't just mean the doctor. I mean every single staff person at our site. We're all providers, we're all providing service, and we're all providing care to our patients. And system factors, challenges within the system. So you can read this. I'd like to highlight that a couple of ones, different systems in the origin country, that's really important. So learning the healthcare system, that's something we can do and we can teach our patients. Provider factors is limited training on the geopolitical context of the patient's immigration history. That's really, really, really important. You see someone shaking her head.
They don't know anything.
Oh, the providers, right. Well, absolutely. And we need to, it's incumbent upon ourselves to learn. It's our responsibility to learn about our patients. So in system factors, you heard that story. So changing eligibility requirements, a lot of hoops that patients have to jump through. And if you don't speak English, and if you don't understand the systems, those hoops become really not open hoops. They just become walls and barriers. Okay, so what is the PN role? In their own words, from our survey of our patient navigators, to help the patient better understand the U.S. healthcare system, to help patients to receive the treatment they need, to be a liaison between medical personnel and patients, advocate, navigate access to healthcare. I am here to serve our patients, and I will go far to fight for patients' right for healthcare services. So we have patient navigators in Mongolian, Cambodian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Tagalog, and Korean at Asian Health Services. We do see other languages, but these are the ones that we have budgeted for at this time. So what is their role? So you heard what they think their role is, and I think it's great because they see the bigger picture and they really get the advocacy and the healthcare as a human right lens, which is important when you're doing this kind of frontline customer service work. We've divided the patient navigator role into three different areas, and this is a little bit different from what other people define patient navigators as. Sometimes patient navigators in the oncology sectors is more about care coordination, and I think that's where patient navigators originated from. But we've got very highly technical expertise. So the membership and the eligibility requirements, these constantly change, especially for public benefits or publicly insured insurances, public insurance, Medicare, Medi-Cal, Healthy Families, Children's Health Insurance Program. They are constantly changing policies. And so it's very, very, very technical. It's not just a receptionist. Very highly technical expertise. They need to know customer service for patients walking in, checking them out, phone-in reception, That's in and of itself. You could have an entire conference on phone reception and customer service. Billing and financial assistance and counseling. I have 5 minutes. I don't have that much left. And medical records assistance. Enabling services. Enabling services are part of what community health centers naturally do to provide healthcare as a human right. They're not reimbursable. So what's reimbursed? Well, my face-to-face time as a physician with the patient, but all the other services that I need to be able to see that patient are not reimbursed. And it takes time, and it takes money, and it's very difficult. So we are actually part of a research project with Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations to look at enabling services as a whole and see what those outcomes are. This is a multi-site research project in Seattle, Washington, Community Health Center, Oakland, California, Hawaii, and New York. And so that I think there's some posters on it or presentations on it at this APHA. And then advocacy. Coordinating outreach, community organizing and collaboration, and media advocacy, interfacing with the media in those different ethnic groups so that the word can get out into the community about policies, healthcare reform, insurance issues, health education. So it's a very, very complex role. Patient story number two. So this is from our Cambodian patient navigator. There's a new immigrant. She didn't have insurance, doesn't know the healthcare system in the United States. She has symptoms of blurry eyes and chest pain. I got him into Health Pack. Health Pack is the Alameda County indigent payer to see the doctor. If he had not been seen by the doctor, he might have had a heart attack. If I'm not there to speak their language, so he won't get the services. Patient navigators play the role as a bridge between the patient and Asian health services. If we are not available, not enough time, so it is like a broken bridge. I was really heartened to read these quotes from our staff because they really get it. They really understand it. So this is the technical definitions of enabling services through that research project. Case management assessment, treatment, referral services, eligibility counseling, health education, interpretation, outreach, and transportation. In that research project, it has to be defined as any of these services on the same day that the doctor has a face-to-face visit, and it has to last more than 10 minutes. So be on the lookout for some of those research findings in the near future. There are a lot of challenges to implementing the patient navigator model, not the least of which is having a hiring pool of candidates who are bilingual, who have the ability to learn the technical expertise and the emotional maturity to handle those interpretation interactions with the doctor and the patient. Lack of reimbursement for enabling services. A key one here is to keep the multifunctionality of the position, but to decrease the multitasking. That's something we're struggling with, because what it means is you're not trying to use the PN position to decrease cost. You're using it to provide better care. And so if they have all these roles, you are going to need additional personnel. So this is something we're sort of figuring out and struggling with. Oh, and Ms. Palachnik here talked about the multi-ethnic groups, and I think our personnel like it as well. They like interacting with their different groups, and they should be, because they need to serve all of the patients, not just the ones from their own ethnic group. So the best practices are the multifunctional roles. Our PNs understand the bigger picture. From experience and observation, it becomes difficult when frontline staff is solely doing phone reception or solely doing walk-in reception. They get burnt out very quickly, and they don't have a connection to the patient care and to what goes on afterwards, after they check the patient in or answer that phone call. The multifunctional role really keeps the team, it really provides team-based care. And so I think that's one of the best practices of the patient navigator. It's a concrete connection to patient care and the teamwork, the multi-ethnic teamwork. They're learning about each other's ethnicities and heritages and cultures, and you need that because there's not enough personnel to serve every single community group. So we need to work together. So those are some of the best practices. Nitty-gritties, some of the things that we have to work out is the trainings, the team buildings, and the human resources. The best thing about, I think, the patient navigator role is that we've expanded the growth opportunities for people in the community. So no longer are the smaller community groups, no longer do they just have positions open for interpreter. They have growth opportunities within the healthcare system to be a patient navigator or a health navigator. There's a session coming up on our health navigator role at 1 o'clock. Phyllis is doing that, our nurse manager, and that's the back office staff. It's similar to patient navigator, but it's in the back office clinical staff. So hopefully you can check that out as well. And really that's what we have. So I'll be back for questions. And if I'm not, Jin Young Chun, the site manager here, raise your hand. She will be answering some questions. I have to go check out a poster. Thanks.